I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of Titus, chapter number 1. Titus, chapter number 1, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. Titus, chapter number 1, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and acknowledging the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus, mine own son after the common faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. I want us to look tonight at this thought. Paul said to Titus in this letter, for this cause left I thee in Crete. And I want to look at this cause tonight, for this cause. And when we think about that, there were several things that Paul said, but I want to just look at a few of them tonight. There were three very important sounds that Paul said needed to be a part of people's lives. And I want us to see these three sounds tonight. For this cause, Paul said, you're here, Titus, to accomplish these things, and to be sure this is set in order, and to be sure things are right and things are done the way that the Lord would have them to be done. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for loving us, and I ask you to help us tonight. In these next few moments we have together, I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would dwell among us in a special way. And I pray that we'd hear from heaven. I pray, Lord, for the message. I pray for the messenger. I pray, Lord, for the hearer. And Lord, I pray that tonight that you would be well pleased with what takes place. I need thy strength and thy power. And Lord, I give this time unto thee, for it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Paul said to Titus, for this cause, Titus, I've left you here. Set some things in order. And he talks about bishops, and which are pastors, these elders of the church, if you will, and certain qualifications that they're to be blameless. That doesn't mean perfect. It means that they are to have an understanding that while they're not perfect, they are to be right in their lives. They're to be blameless. The husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. A bishop is to be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word. Sometimes I feel like I need to step down, you know? I realize that there's certain qualifications that God puts on people. Paul was writing to Titus, said these are very important. And you know, I know that there are so many things I could do a lot better. I'm not going to preach about a pastor tonight, but I'm going to preach about certain things that the pastor needs to be sure that is part of people's lives. Certain sounds that ought to be there. And you've heard me mention these before. You've heard me preach along these same lines before, there's no doubt. I preach many times, same things over and over, take different portions of Scripture, different thoughts, and try to bring it all together. But we're always pressing toward the same mark and the same message. We always have a same end in sight. And Paul said, Titus, I left you here. And there are things that you need to set in order, and there are things that you need to be sure that are a part of these people's lives, and these things are to be sound things. And the first thing I want us to look at tonight is one of the things that ought to be a part of our life. One of the important sounds is sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 9. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Now I notice what the Bible says here in verse number 9. It says, holding fast the faithful word. This is something that is given to the pastor to do. I want you to know tonight that any preacher that does not believe that this is the inspired, inerrant, an infallible word of God disqualifies himself from being a preacher. If he does not believe the book, then he might as well step down. These liberals and these modernists that have decided that it contains the Word of God, but it is not the Word of God. Dear friends, I'll tell you what they ought to do. They ought to go out into the world and get them a secular job and stay away from the house of God. Because they're bringing great harm to the cause of Christ and to the family of God. One of the things that we have battled over the years are the liberals and the modernists and the higher criticisms, if you will. We are to understand that we are to hold fast the faithful word as we have been taught. Why? So that we will be able by sound doctrine to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. In other words, my responsibility is to preach to you all the counsel of God, and to preach the doctrine, which is our beliefs and our teachings, which come from the Word of God. And by sound doctrine, I ought to be able to help you to understand why we believe what we believe. And I grew up in a church that was strong on the inerrancy of the Word of God, and I'm so happy about that. I grew up in a church that stood and where the preacher stood and preached what thus saith the Lord. And I remember being a part of that church and being thankful. And I'm telling you, I heard preachers get up, and I'm talking about they'd preach, you know. There wasn't none of these guys that get up there and just try to make you feel good about yourself. They'd preach. They'd preach the truth. And then that church still, as far as I know, preaches the truth. We may have differences of opinion in certain areas, but they preach the Bible, and I'm so happy about that. But I see churches all around that once stood for the truth and once stood for what's right. And they've thrown it out the door. And they've decided to try to appease people's minds and their consciences. And they try to make people feel good about themselves. But the pastor is responsible for holding faithful to the Word of God. And by sound doctrine to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. There's people all around this world. There's people all around this church. There's people all around this very community that does not believe the Bible. And by sound doctrine, we ought to be able to convince others this is why we believe what we believe. I stood on our sidewalk yesterday and had a conversation with some officials that were out gathering information. And I remember speaking to them about certain things. And all I did was talk to them about what I believed about the Bible. And that's all I did. You know? As they were trying to carry the conversation, I said, look, you know, let's talk about this. Let's talk about this. Because they had some ideals I thought that were just foolish. And as I was talking, they said, well, you know, you're right. Well, you know, you're right. And I'm sitting here thinking, if I'm right, then why can you believe otherwise? How can you feel otherwise? See, we begin to look at these things, we begin to see these things, and we realize that we have a world that may believe the right things, but they have convinced themselves that there are other things that are more important than God's Word. And I want you to know something tonight. There is nothing more important than God's Word in a believer's life. Not one thing is more important than God's Word. The Bible says, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. In other words, there were these Judaizers, and they were unruly, they were vain talkers, they were deceptive. And the Bible says, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. That word subvert means they destroy. They overthrow. I'm telling you what's happening. There has been an indoctrination of the devil that is moving in even to Christian families' homes. We are in a war. And the war is the same war that has been since the beginning of time. It is the war over the truth of God's Word. From the very beginning, Satan has tried to deny or to destroy the Word of God. And we're watching things happen before our very eyes that absolutely ought to make us humble ourselves and not get down on the altar, but crawl up underneath the altar and beg for a holy God to have mercy on us one more time. America was a nation that was built on biblical principles. America was a nation that battled even in the very beginning of time as people tried to bring in things and have state-run churches and have all the government in control of all the things. And thank God there were some Baptists that stood up and said, no, it cannot be that way. Dear friends, we have to understand the doctrines of the Word of God teaches us that we have to make a choice about these things. And the doctrines of the Word of God is our beliefs and teachings about God and who He is and what we are supposed to be. And my responsibility is to teach things through sound doctrine so that we can convince others why we believe. Why do we believe that salvation is by grace through faith? Because the Bible says it. And take them to the Bible. Why do we believe that when you're saved, you at that moment receive everlasting life, eternal life? Because of what the Bible says. See, in the last days, we know that doctrine is going to be given over to fables and to fairy tales. You know, the Bible says in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter number 4 and verse number 1, the Bible says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and what? Doctrines of devils. We're watching it take place. I'm talking about in the house of God. I'm not talking about in the world. I'm talking about in the house of God. I'm not talking about in politics. I'm talking about in the house of God. We're seeing these things happen. Notice what the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. You know what the Bible is saying here? The Bible is saying that in the last days, people are not going to want the doctrine of the Word of God. They're going to give heed to seducing spirits, to the doctrines of devils. They'd rather have somebody teaching them, making them feel good about themselves, a.k.a. Joel Osteen. I don't care to mention his name. Get up there and smile with a smile on his face and have 100-some thousand people come to hear him every weekend and making this world a better place from which to go to hell. The truth is, men and women and boys and girls, we're all sinners and we all need a Savior. And that's what the Bible has to say. God help us. Preach the Word, it said. Instant in season, out of season, because the time's going to come. Well, dear friends, if Jesus don't come, I'm going to keep on preaching the Word. Telling what thus saith the Lord. We have cults like Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons going out and making their way into homes and taking advantage of people's hospitalities. And what these people don't realize is you invite them in, you are subjecting yourself to subversion. You understand what I'm saying? When they come by, I'll tell them what I believe about the Lord Jesus Christ. I won't invite them into my home. And if they don't want to hear it, then they're welcome to go on their way. But I'm not going to listen to what they have to say either. You understand? I was thinking about this sound doctrine that needs to be a part of our lives. Do you know why you believe what you believe? Why are you a Baptist? Look, I preach it all the time. Why? I preach these doctrines all the time. I give you the truth all the time. Do you know Baptists are truly the only ones that have ever stood for the immersion of believers only? Do you realize the greatest persecutor of Baptists was in the early days of America was the Anglicans, was the Church of England, and the Episcopalians? Presbyterians were called the sinners, and And they weren't quite as bad as these Episcopalians, but they didn't like the Baptists. They called us, I forget, hooligans or something like that. I've been called a lot worse, I imagine. They hated us. They fought against us. But thank God there were some men that stood up and said, we're going to preach the doctrine of the Word of God. There were some men that were going to be to hold fast the faithful Word. In those early days, the state tried to run the church, and they said that they was going to tax everybody, and that these taxes would go to support ministers. And by the way, it was not Baptist ministers, never. It was always the Episcopalians. It was always the Congregationalists. It was always the Anglicans. You understand what I'm saying? And so what would happen was these Baptist churches would meet together, and they would always get broken up. They would get run out of town. They would be persecuted. They would be taken out to the stake. They would be whipped. They would be beaten. They would be put in prison. You don't want to know why they were put in prison? Because they believed that you had to be baptized after you were saved, and that infant baptism was not according to Scripture. Now, where would they get such a foolish idea as to think that infant baptism was not according to Scripture? Well, I'll tell you where they got it from: the Bible. Show me one place in the Bible where a baby gets baptized. You can't. But I can show you many places where a believer gets baptized. It's a great study. Sound doctrine. We need to understand this. This is an important sound. We need to understand why we are what we are tonight. We could go into this even in greater detail, but I don't have time. I really am trying to work on this and trying to be conscious of things, but we need to get this in our mind and get this in our heart and get this in our soul. It is important that we have sound doctrine. And the Bible says that we are to have this sound doctrine because there are unruly and vain talkers. There are Judaizers, especially. In this day, it was Judaizers, but in our day, we're dealing with so many different things. And the Bible says these vain talkers, you know what that means? It means they speak nonsense. And there's a lot of nonsense preachers out there today. And as the Bible says, whose mouths must be stopped. Now look, if you want to see somebody that's going to stand for individual soul liberty, it is me. I believe that I have a right to be a Baptist and others have a right to be what they are. But I'm going to stand up and tell you the truth of the matter is we've got to do our best to shut them up. Oh yes. If I could stop every Jehovah's Witness church from being a Jehovah's Witness church within the law, I'd do it. I'm sorry, you may not like it. But the Bible says they've got to be stopped. We're living in a democracy, a republic, a democracy in this world. But the truth of the matter is we need a theocracy. We need God to be in control, don't we? We need Him to be in charge and Him to be appointing things. If God was in control, I wouldn't be so nervous about Tuesday, would you? Yeah, He is in control. I hope you understand what I'm saying. But sometimes God gives you what you ask for, right? So you understand that. If God was in control, I'd say neither one of these candidates would even be running. But anyway, I think you understand when I say if God was in control. He is on the throne. He is in control. I don't want to misunderstand that. But we get so tied up about things. What we need is God to be guiding our lives. By the way, if we allow God to guide our lives, we won't worry about other things as much. We need sound doctrine. If we're preaching and teaching sound doctrine, the second thing will be a part of our lives, and that's sound faith. Notice what the Bible says in chapter number 1 and verse number 13. The Bible says that this witness is true. Well, let's go back and read verse 12 first. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, "The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. And this witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith." Now, this we see four things that are given to us here that was said of the Cretans. And we could talk about the history of Crete and all that, but we don't have time to do that tonight. The Bible says they were liars. The Bible says they were evil beasts. That means they were lawless. The Bible says they were slow bellies, and that word slow means lazy, and then slow bellies means lustful. So we see they were liars, they were lawless, they were lazy, they were lustful. That was their testimony. Now, the Bible says that some of these were saved, these Cretans. This witness is true. The Bible says, wherefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. See, Paul was not denying that they were saved, but their character was to be lawless and lazy and lustful and liars. And Paul said to Titus, you have got to preach sound doctrine. You have got to help them understand that they are responsible for the truths of God's Word. And being responsible for the truths of God's Word, then they'll be sound in the faith. It says that they may be sound in faith. We're living in a society of lazy, lustful, lying, lawless people. And it's made its way into the church. The church is at its laziest point that it ever has. I'm talking about the church as a whole. It is at its laziest point because if the church was doing what the church ought to be doing, then this world wouldn't be in the shape that we're in. Our country would not be in the shape. You want to know what made our country great? It was those early churches that made our country great. The Revolutionary War that we talk about so much and that our history books are trying to change, the Revolutionary War was something that was fought on two ends. There was the military end, but there was the religious part of it too. And you have to realize that they were both just as important. We had to defeat them militarily, but we also had to defeat them to where we could have the freedom to worship God the way that we're worshiping God today. And by the way, you want to know who stood the charge? It was Baptist. You want to understand what I'm trying to say tonight is they were sound in their faith and they decided we didn't come over here to be lazy. We came over here to get the job done. The greatest leaders of the armies was those Baptist chaplains that they would bring in. And it was those Baptist preachers that would go into their churches and rally the men. And the men would get up and they would fight the war. And because of that, we were freed from the rule of England. And we were made a country with liberty and justice for all. Because they were sound in faith. And while there were those that were preaching the ungodly truths, ungodly lies, there were Baptist preachers preaching the godly truths. And by the way, I'm sure there were others. You know, Whitfield wasn't a Baptist, but boy, he sure did influence the Baptist. Whitfield would preach, and men like Schubel Stearns got saved, and they decided that believers' baptism was the way to go. They became Baptists, and he said, all my chickens have become ducks. Tore him all to pieces, you know? But he stood and he preached the truth. Thank God for people like that. And these people became sound in their faith. And being sound in faith, they realized that they were responsible. The Bible says in verse number 2 of chapter number 2, that the aged men may be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. After it says what it says in verse number 1. Titus, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men may be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity. Impatience. In other words, when the right thing is preached and people listen, then their faith will become sound. Isn't that what we need? Sound doctrine and sound faith. Isn't what America needs is a revival? I'm not even saying a revival of patriotism as much as I'm saying a revival of Christianity. The only hope for America and for the world is that we would lift up Christ again and that our faith would be strong. I've been watching the news, and of course, you know, you see things like the stock market go up and down, and it went way down, and then this last week it went up 900 points, and man, the world is absolutely, they have no clue what's going on. This past week I heard them say something about a global recession. Global recession. God has a way of bringing us to our knees. What we need is a revival of Christianity. And by the way, a revival of Christianity is not a whole bunch more people being saved. It's just Christians starting to be sound in their faith again. Taking a stand for the truth. Somebody asked me, how are you going to vote? I say the same way I tell everybody else to vote. by prayer, and by principle. That's the way we ought to vote. You ought to pray about it. You ought to seek the biblical principles. And then you ought to go vote the way that God puts in your heart to vote. That's the way it ought to be. Look, I know preachers will get up and they're going to tell you exactly who to vote for. But I figure God can tell you who to vote for better than I can tell you who to vote for. And by the way, if you don't vote for the right one, then you have to answer to God. You don't ever have to answer to me about that. You may vote for the right one, I may vote for the wrong one. But I know one thing, I'm going to do it by prayer and by principle. Prayer to God and the principles from God's Word. That's the way it is. I'm not going to look at R or D or I or libertarian. I'm going to look and I'm going to say, I believe this is who God would have me vote for because of biblical principles. Amen. That's about as political as you'll hear me get. I don't like politics. Not at all. But I do believe that I'm right in preaching what I just said. Sound doctrine, sound faith ought to be a part of our lives. And I'll tell you the third thing that ought to be a part of our lives, according to Paul's writing to Titus, is sound speech. Sound speech. These first two sounds, if you study them out, the word sound in sound doctrine, the word sound in sound faith means to be uncorrupted, to be clear, to be certain. So we ought to be clear in our doctrine and we ought to be clear in our faith. And then in chapter number 2 and verse number 8, the Bible says sound speech, talking about to the young men, sound speech that cannot be condemned. This means to be whole and true. That's what we need. We need true speech. We try to mince words so as to not hurt people's feelings sometimes. Now, I'm not one that says go out there and try to crush somebody's feelings or try to destroy their morale. I'm just saying sometimes we can't mince words when truth's involved. Truth is truth, and truth will stand when everything else falls. And our responsibility is to have sound speech. I know I preached on this just a few weeks ago, but I honestly believe tonight that part of the problem of Christianity is our mouths need to be cleaned up. We need to learn to speak all over again. We need to learn to speak the words of God. And we need to learn to speak things that would not be dishonoring to God. And by the way, I believe sometimes our speech is unsound when we use slang words describing things. That's not sound. That's not wholesome. That's not true. The difference throughout the history of our country, when we were doing right, when the church was marching forward, was because men and women separated themselves from the world because they stood on their faith and they spoke the truth. But now we're afraid that preacher will get up there and is afraid that he might hurt somebody's feelings, so he won't get up there and preach so hard on hell, or he won't get up there and preach so hard about eternal security, because there's somebody in the congregation that does not believe that once you're saved you have everlasting life, although the Bible says it all throughout it, that there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, that him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out, that whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never perish, but have everlasting life. I mean, it says it over and over and over again. Well, let's stand up and say it, because God said it. Sound speech. Paul said to Titus, "For this cause I left you here. Set some things in order. Because the Cretans have the character, have the testimony of being lazy and lawless and lustful and liars. And you've got your work cut out for you, Titus. But here's what you got to do. You got to preach sound doctrine so that they can be sound in the faith and have sound speech." Dear friends, tonight, this few people that's in here, maybe 40 people, if we'll decide we're going to be sound in our faith and sound in our speech, learn to answer the questions the way that the Bible answers questions. Learn to give an answer for the hope that's in you. You say, "I'm not educated." You don't have to be educated. You just have to read the Bible.
God's Word gives us all the answers. It's time that we stood up for what's true and what's right. Amen. For this cause, Titus, I've left you here. You've got your work cut out for you. But if you'll do right in teaching sound doctrine, the inerrancy, the infallibility, the inspiration of the Scriptures, then these men and women can become sound in their faith and sound in their speech. There's nothing worse than to hear somebody that claims to be a Christian to be foul-mouthed. Makes me sick, and I believe that it's a stench in the nostrils of God. I've talked to people, I worked with people for years, said they were saved, and some of the things that come out of their mouth, and I thought, good night. It's no wonder nobody wants to be saved with people like you around. And by the way, if you're saved, you'll stand before God with your speech one of these days. Because it's through our speech that we tell others of Christ. And so that's what we're going to give an account for, not for our sins, but for what have we done with Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying tonight, these three sounds that are so important? These three things that ought to be there. I'm going to do my best to preach sound doctrine. Because all I have to preach is this book. I don't have my ologies. I have the Bible. You have two choices, receive it or reject it. If you receive it from the Lord, you'll become sound in your faith. And as you become sound in your faith, you'll become more and more sound in your speech. It's a growing process. And we're all supposed to be growing in the Lord, right? Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing, growing every day? Well, let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. In these next few moments where we have time to respond to thy word, I pray that you'll help us to be sincere. Lord, I pray that you'll strengthen us more and more as we see the things that are around us. Lord, I imagine that we're living in a place much like Crete, when we see people that are not willing to work. Lord, people that's liars, that's lazy, that's lustful, lawless. Lord, it seems to describe this generation we're living in so well. Lord, we need to stand true to Thee, preach and teach the truth, that we can help these, especially the believers, Lord, to be sound in their faith, to walk away from this wrong kind of lifestyle, and to live so that they can influence others in a way that's pleasing to Thee. Help us to be true and right so that we can influence those who are outside the family of God. Lord, so that we can show them your love, but also your judgment, and that they have to answer to thee. Help us to know these things. Help us, Lord, to not just read, but help us to study the Word of God, that we may be able to give an answer, that we may be able to help somebody out, that we may be able to further the cause of Christ. Lord, for all that's accomplished, we'll thank you. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we do pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. What page, Brother Chris?